Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. It's a great day to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're starting a new section in our year-long series of Running the Race, where we've been talking about, originally the first section was the refining road of repentance, where we talked about the book of Joel, went through the book of Joel, and now we're turning our attention to the life of Joseph, which is the rocky road of reality. And as we know, life can be rocky. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, all kinds of things happen you don't expect it, like fire alarms on a Sunday morning in the middle of a worship service. I mean, all kinds of things happen. Rocky road of life. And there are problems, there are issues, and there are struggles. And so we're going to look at the life of Joseph and see that there's a struggle, one right after another, in his life as he has to deal with these things. But we see some of the beginning points of what's taking place and why some of these things take place. Originally, is from looking at the partiality that his father Jacob has for him, Joseph, and what that does to his brothers around. So we're going to be looking at partiality today, the idea of partiality. And what we know about partiality or favoritism is that partiality could easily cause strife in families. If I'm partial to Mexican and Angie is partial to Italian, it could cause strife. If she is partial to being a pack rat and I am partial to throwing it all away, it could cause strife. Come on now, right? Not that that happens or anything, but just know that that could happen. Also, if kids are partial to different video games at the same time, it could cause strife. So it happens certainly in families, but also what is true in families is also true in the family of God. If some are partial to one color carpet and somebody's partial to a different color carpet, it could cause strife. Or if I'm partial to praise songs and you're partial to hymns, it could cause strife. Or if somebody's partial to one pastor over another, it could cause strife. And so we're going to look at partiality in the very beginning part of the life of Joseph. And what we're going to see here is that that we need to be persuaded to stay away from partiality. And if it's in our hearts, if it's in our lives, then we need to root it out by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to look at, starting in Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. If you're able, in honor and reverence to the Word of God, if you would please stand as I read this passage for us this morning. The Bible says this: Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, and his father kept the saying in mind. Let's pray together. Father, may you take the word of God now. May you speak to our hearts and lives. May you apply it to us. May we seek to be yielded to your spirit in every avenue, everything that you have for us. Lord, I pray that the words in which I speak would be that which you desire for me to speak into the hearts and lives of people. May they hear what you desire for them to hear. But Lord, may we walk away a changed and challenged people to live for you, to love you, and to love the way you taught us. Father, I pray now that you would help us to examine our hearts. And to Lord, if there are those here who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that this would be the hour of salvation. And for those of us who do, may it be a time of renewal and refreshing. But also, Lord, may review our own lives. And Lord, may we find that you are our hope. no matter what we may be facing. And now, Lord, I pray the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we have 3 points to this message today. And the first thing that we want to see here as we think about the partiality is we want to think about the partiality pictured and how it's pictured in this passage of Scripture. How partiality is pictured, and we see it very clearly here at the very beginning, as Jacob is showing partiality to one of his sons, Joseph. And it's affecting the whole family, of course. And so Jacob had a favorite. He was partial to one son over the other, and that is the son of Joseph, who we're talking about for the next several months now. So Joseph was a favored son. In verses 2 and 3, again, we see that Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. So what we know about Joseph, that he's the favored son of Jacob. We know that he's the second youngest son, so there's one younger than him. He is the son of Rachel. He's the first son of Rachel, who was the wife that Jacob loved the most. Now, Rachel has since died in giving birth to Joseph's younger brother, Benjamin. And it tells us here that Joseph was the son of Jacob's old age. He is indeed his favorite. The Bible is clear, and Jacob has made it clear as well. And so for 17 years, Jacob has played favorites with Joseph. And what we see in the passage of Scripture is that it was pictured in that the brothers saw it. The brothers saw this that was going on with their father and with Joseph, who was not the oldest, but was the son of Rachel. So Joseph was the favored son, and he also had favored status. When you look at the end of verse 3, it tells us that Jacob had made him a robe of many colors. Now, this robe of many colors, the Hebrew word for that, some commentators disagree about whether that really means a robe of many colors or whether it's a robe that had long sleeves on it or if it was a robe that had ornaments all over it or whatever it may be. But the truth still remains that this robe, this tunic, whatever it may have been, would not have been worn while he was working. So he probably didn't have to go out into the fields as much as he'd be wearing this quite often. And it would serve, and he would not have to serve as a shepherd as consistently for everybody. And everybody would see that he wasn't serving consistently as a shepherd out in the fields. But also with this giving of this robe, giving of this tunic, Jacob was saying something not only to his brother, to Joseph's brothers, but saying something to anybody who wanted to know, is that Joseph had favored status of his sons, that he thought that he needed to be the future leader of the family. And this was an honor that was normally given to the firstborn, but wasn't. It was given to Joseph. So whatever this coat looked like, whatever it consisted of, it meant that Joseph had favored status in the family, was a favored son, and it was public information for everybody to see and to know. So where does this come from? Where does this partiality that Jacob has for Joseph come from? Well, we see some of it here in this passage of Scripture. We see some of this favoritism. But if you think about Jacob's history himself, that Jacob had been a favorite of his mother, Rebekah, if you remember that story. And then now he had a favorite wife, which is Rachel, and this is the first son of Rachel. And then now that favoritism of Rachel extends to their children, not only Joseph here, but we'll see later in Benjamin as well. But whatever the case, here's what we need to know, is that we know that these are not right actions. These are actions that are not right. Amen? These should not be seen in a family. And if we say that in a family, it should not be seen in the family of God as well. This, because we know that it causes problems, and ultimately it stems from sin. This partiality that's pictured in Joseph's earthly father, but it's not seen in his heavenly father, because we know the partiality is not seen in holy God. all through the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, we see how God commands that there needs to be just weights and fair measurements. And how in the New Testament, how we see that God tells us that we're not to prefer the rich over the poor. So he has no favorites. Our Father in heaven is just. Our Father in heaven is fair. Our Father in heaven is right. There's no favoritism, no partiality with him. He is not partial. He shows no favoritism. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul writes a couple places, one in Romans chapter 2:11, where he says, "For God shows no partiality." I mean, it's very clear, very, very well spelled out. And then in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says here as well at the middle part of that verse that God shows no partiality. In the New King James, it reads, "God shows no personal favoritism to no man." And so we see God is not this way. Now, as we think about this, we look at the life of Jacob, and we even look at our own lives, sometimes we say, okay, well, God is fair and he's right and just, but sometimes it's not always easy to understand when we don't think God has been fair to us about something. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand that God is not partial when we don't feel like that we have been treated fairly by him. You say, what are you talking about? Well, like if we've been praying about a job, but somebody else gets the job. Or we hear that everybody got a promotion, but I was overlooked. Or that someone else got what we thought what we should have somehow, some way, that we felt like we deserved it. See, what we need to understand here as we look at this and we see the life of Joseph is that there are plenty of times in the life of Joseph, as we will see, where life didn't seem to be very fair. However, what he came to find out is that God had a plan. And beloved, no matter where you are today, this is what we need to understand as well, is that God has a plan. And we may not always understand what is happening. And whereas life may not seem fair, our Heavenly Father is always fair. Amen? He is always fair. So this partiality picture, Joseph is the favored son with favored status. But as we look at Joseph, we also get a glimpse of Joseph himself in this passage of scripture that he favored something. He favored himself. So Joseph, as we learn here, he's 17 years old and he has much to learn. As we look at him, we can't help but to say, you know, he had a lot of immaturity going on right now. At the age of 17, he certainly had some growing up to do. And if you look in verse 2, again, it tells us that he was the boy. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, maybe at 17, being out in the field, coming back to the father, knowing who he is and his status, he just was a tattletale and he told on his brothers. Maybe that's the case, or maybe the case is that his father had told him to go and to give a report and bring it back to him about his brothers. But whatever case may be, speaking against his brothers did not help him in his relationship with them. And then we go to verse 5, and we see these things, what the Bible tells us as to what Joseph did next, is that Joseph had a dream. And when he told the dream to his brothers, they hated him even more. And so he said to them, "Hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field." And a sheave is like a stalk with grain on the end of it. "We're binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered round it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers knew exactly what he was saying. They said, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Well, it doesn't end there. Then Joseph had another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And so God had given Joseph these dreams, evidently, that showed what was going to happen in the future. It's very possible that these dreams were given to Joseph only for him to know in the future. But what did he do? He had the dreams and he told the brothers. Why in the world did he tell his brothers? Well, maybe they didn't like him and they were making it known, and that is the case. They were making it known where they hated him. And when they're picking on him or talking about him, maybe he says, "I'll show you. Let me tell you about this dream I just had. And here's what's going to happen." And so he told his brothers. Maybe it was to provoke them, maybe to react to their hatred as they're spewing their hatred to him. Or maybe it's so that, you know, he felt like the runt of the litter, even though he was the favored status, and they would appreciate and honor him for who he is and what he's going to be one day. But whatever the case, as you look here at Joseph, we understand this about him, that he had some growing up to do, right? Amen? He had some growing up to do, and he needed to learn. Here's what he needed to learn at this point in his life. And beloved, let me just say that we need to learn this as well sometimes. And here's what he needed to learn, that sometimes it's better to leave some things unsaid. Amen? Sometimes it's better to leave some things unsaid. Some disciples today could learn from his mistakes and heed the word that tells us in Psalm 141, verse 3, to set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. Our translation is, Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. That's what that says, all right? In Psalm 19:14, maybe you recognize this verse that we could heed as well. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So as we look at the life of Joseph, man, he had certainly some growing up to do. We see his immaturity here, but also he had some learning to do in the way of humility. And as we look here at his life, there has to be some pride in Joseph as we look at his life, where he favored himself. He favors self here. Partiality to himself. He knows he's his father's favorite. He has a fine new coat, a fine new robe, a fine new tunic, whatever it may be. He has the favored status, and he doesn't have to work as consistently as his brothers do. He knows that he has the ear and the trust of his father, while the others, not so much. And it seems that also God has told him that he eventually is going to rule over his brothers, and he then tells them and his father that they're going to bow before him, and he doesn't tell them just one time. He tells them twice. There is some pride in Joseph. You see, being partial to yourself reveals a lack of humility and a lot of immaturity. And Joseph has some growing up to do in maturity and some learning to do in humility. Now, as we follow the story of Joseph, you may be familiar. You may want to go ahead and read ahead. Go to chapter 50. Goes to chapter 50 in Genesis and just see the life if you've never done that before. But what we know is that God does a work in the life of Joseph. We know the end of the story. We know that Joseph says to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And that in the midst of that, from chapter 37 to chapter 50, Joseph is going to go through the crucible of the rocky road of life. But as he goes through that rocky road of life, God is going to be molding him and shaping him and making him, and Joseph will learn, and he will mature in trust of the Lord, and he'll learn to be a leader as he is humbled. So partiality is pictured here in this passage in Jacob and also in Joseph, and it causes problems. And that's what we see next as we think about the partiality produce or the partiality fruit. That what comes from because Jacob was partial and favored his son Joseph, there is produce, there's fruit that comes from that. And we know that when there is partiality, whether that's in a family, whether that's in a church, whether that's at a workplace, wherever you are, and there's favoritism and this partiality toward each other, we know that there can be dysfunction and that there is distrust and there is distress. But then the fruit that we see in this passage of Scripture, specifically as we think about the fruit or the produce that comes from partiality from Jacob to Joseph, is that we see two things specifically in the lives of the brothers of Joseph, and that is we see hatred and jealousy. Hatred and jealousy here. Three times, and one in verse 4, one in verse 5, one in verse 8, we see that the Bible very clearly tells us that the brothers hated Joseph. They hated him. They hated him. They hated him, it says, over and over again. Man, how different that contrast from the holiness of God, where the brothers are hate, but our God is holy, holy, holy. How different, how far ends of the spectrum that is. But the brothers hated him. And this hatred that they had for Joseph stirred up strife In verse 4, it tells us that when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him, and watch this, and they could not speak peacefully to him. And we see that, and we think in our own culture today, speaking peacefully to someone, we think about, well, they couldn't speak peacefully to him, so when they were around him, they just couldn't talk to him politely, or they couldn't say a kind word to him. But I believe it goes deeper than that as we look at this past scripture. In that culture, it was the sacred duty to give the word shalom in the greeting and in the farewell. And still today, the Jewish faith, Jewish people will greet each other. And when they leave from each other, they will typically say shalom. Now, shalom, as they see somebody coming into their presence and then they're going to leave, they would say shalom. Now, that is more than just hello or goodbye. Shalom is more than just a simple peace be with you. It's more than what we think of as we have our greetings in our culture today. We say, hey, how you doing? And we repeat that over and over. Yeah, I'm busy. That's always what we say, you know, right? So it's more than that. So actually, when somebody was saying shalom to somebody, when somebody says shalom to somebody, it's saying something deeper. It's saying, may you be filled with a complete and perfect peace. May you be full of well-being. It is a heartfelt desire for the person in which you're greeting or in which is leaving. Shalom. And when it tells us here in verse 4, it says that they could not speak peacefully to him. The word peacefully is the word shalom. So the Bible is telling here is that they could not speak peacefully. They could not speak shalom to Joseph. So in other words, his brothers could not wish complete and perfect peace for him. They could not wish him well-being. Instead, what they're saying by not offering shalom to him, they're saying to Joseph, Joseph, we do not like you and we don't wish you well. As a matter of fact, we wish you trouble and discomfort. Man, what hatred there is between the brothers and Joseph that stems from the sin of favoritism and partiality of Jacob to Joseph and Joseph to himself. You see, hatred is dangerous. It stirs up strife. So Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. If we were to put that in today's language, it would say something like this. It is better to have a salad at a table where people love you than to be sitting at the table with a great big steak and hate abounds. How different the table at Jacob's house could have been without partiality. Amen? Hatred is dangerous. It was dangerous then. It's still dangerous now, not only because of what it does, but also what it reveals, what it indicates in a person's life. If there's hatred in your life, it's a hatred in a person's life. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:9 that whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The fire alarm is not getting ready to go off. All right. Partiality towards others produces hatred, and that stirs up strife. But also, we see partiality produces not only hatred, but it produces jealousy. So in verse 11, it tells us here that his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. And so their thoughts, the brothers against Joseph, their thoughts against Joseph were not good. They saw him. Listen, the brothers saw Joseph as a spoiled brat who had the favored son status, who thought he was eventually going to have dominion over them. So Jacob's partiality of Joseph and Joseph's partiality of himself, it caused this hatred, it caused this jealousy. And due to that jealous hatred, there were consequences that came. Now, we're not going to get into those consequences today because we're going to pick those up in a couple of weeks. And what I'll tell you is that when we see the consequences and where this led, I'll tell you, it is not pretty. It ain't pretty. As we look, we'll see that there will be deep animosity and deception, not only to Joseph, but to their father Jacob, and there's division and there's distress. And these are just the dirty deeds of the devil when there's this hatred and jealousy stemmed from partiality. So here's what we need to know today, is that when there's partiality toward others and there's partiality of ourselves, it brings about fruit like hatred and jealousy. And jealousy, this thing of jealousy, is a hateful passion against someone else, and it corrupts and it corrodes our innermost being. Whether that's a coworker that got the job you didn't, or whether it's a family member who had favored status, whatever it may be, and it corrupts us and it corrodes us to the core. Proverbs 14:30 says, a tranquil heart, a wholesome or sound or a heart at peace gives life to the flesh, but envy or jealousy makes the bones rot like a cancer. So jealousy is like a cancer in the bones. It devours our energy, it devours our thoughts, and ultimately it devours our witness. And while we're under the influence of jealousy, we're not comforted or at peace, but rather we're consumed by it. Because of partiality, hatred and jealousy are produced in Jacob's family and their dire consequences. And so you hear this morning and you think, okay, Pastor, I got all that, but hey, you don't have to worry about me. You know, I'm so excited to hear about Joseph and the problems that they had, but look, I don't show any, Pastor, look, I am one of your people here. And I don't show any partiality to my family at all. I got it. I love all my kids the same. Hey, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. But let me ask you a couple more questions before I let you completely off the hook. How about this? Are you partial to your job over your children? Or are you partial to your sports over your spouse? Or are you partial to yourself above all others? Now we're getting a little closer to home. Amen, right? And then let's take it a little bit different. Let's think about, how are you doing in the family of God? Are you showing partiality in the family of God toward styles of worship? Are you showing partiality toward people who have different opinions? Do you show favoritism or partiality against people who are different from you? You see, here's the thing, friends, is that as believers, we need to examine our hearts and ask the Lord, is there some favoritism? Is there some partiality? Is there some pride? Is there some prejudice in our hearts? Because the thing is that our hearts are prone to wander, favoring specific things or people, and then most dangerously, our hearts are prone to favor ourselves. And we're partial to what I want. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were partial to what they wanted instead of what God said. And Jesus said to us, one of the reasons Jesus said to us is to be careful of self. He said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, favoring self, favoring others, when that's in our heart, when that's in our life, it produces the fruit of dysfunction, distrust, disunity, distress. It produces the fruit of hatred and jealousy. But when we deny self and follow Jesus, it produces a different kind of fruit. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. So when we're following Jesus, it's a different kind of fruit that we're going to bear. And that brings us to our last point, which is, not only the partiality pictured and the partiality that has the produce of it, the fruit, we see thirdly, the partiality purged. The partiality purged. So in our passage, as we're looking at these 11 verses today, we don't really see where partiality was purged from the life of these people. We still see the favoritism, we still see the partiality, we still see the prejudice here. And while we don't see the partiality purged from their life, we come to this point and we say this, that as believers, partiality should be purged from our life. It should be purged from the life of the disciple because we see the dangers. And so how can we then be purged of partiality? How can we avoid partiality? How can we avoid favoritism? How can we avoid pride and prejudice? Well, let me just put it to you this way. You cannot do that on your own. You cannot do that on your own. We're so prone to our own self. We're so prone to us and what we want. and how we want the world to revolve around us. We're so prone to that in our sinful nature because we're bearing fruit that is rooted in our sinful nature. But I have good news for you today, that once we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God then dwells within us and we now bear a different kind of fruit. Amen? So as believers in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells within us, and through the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we now bear a different kind of fruit. Well, what kind of fruit do we bear, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24, the Bible tells us this. This is the kind of fruit that we bear as the Spirit lives within us. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh or the self with its passions and desires. Now, did you catch that just a minute ago as I was reading through that list? I like that list, don't you? I mean, it tells us the fruit that we're going to bear is good fruit. Fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Nowhere do I hear there is a dysfunction. Nowhere do I hear that there is favoritism. Nowhere do I hear in that list that there's partiality or pride or prejudice. And nowhere do I hear in that list that there's hatred or jealousy. Because there's a different fruit being born. You see, this spiritual fruit comes from the Spirit of God in us as we are abiding in Christ, our Savior. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We must be abiding in Christ as He is the Lord and Savior of our lives. He lives within us. As He lives within us, then we bear different fruit. You see, friends, listen. The root of our preferential treatments, the root of our partialities, the root of our prejudices, the root of our pride, it stems from sin. And the only way to change the fruit is to change the root. Amen? Hey, I really like that statement, so I really would like an amen right there, okay? Because I really think that's true. As a matter of fact, I know that's true. And so true, I'm going to say it again, that the only way to change the fruit is to change the root. Amen. Very good. You're learning. And now, the root is only changed, not by you, by only one who is able to change it, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus can change the root that causes us to bear different fruit. You see, it's through Jesus that we're able to overcome partiality and pride. It's through Jesus that hatred and jealousy and distrust and disunity are defeated. It's through Jesus that we're able to love like He taught us to love, and to love unconditionally and love completely like He taught us in His Word, to love the Lord with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to husbands to love their wife as Christ loved the church, and wife to love their husband, and for parents to love their children, and for disciples to love each other as disciples, so that the world will know that we belong to Jesus, and those of us who are disciples to also love the lost and loving them enough that we're willing to point them to the way, the truth, and the life. That's loving the way He has taught us to love. And you cannot do that. You cannot love fairly. You cannot love correctly unless you have the love of Jesus Christ dwelling in you. The sin of partiality is to be purged, and it can only be purged by trusting Jesus by faith and abiding in Him and yielding to Him and obeying Him and following Him who taught us all about love. And He taught us all about love by sending His Son Jesus, summed up in one verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And what a beautiful picture. And so what we learn from this beginning part of Joseph's life is that there's not to be any partiality in us. And if it is, it needs to go. It needs to go. It produces nothing good. It doesn't look like our Heavenly Father or the Lord Jesus. And so you hear this today and it struck a chord in your heart, not because that you are a person who has partiality toward other people, or maybe you even don't struggle as much with partiality within you, But you would say, but Pastor, I really do struggle because I was one of those who has seen partiality against me firsthand by a parent, by a relative, by someone else. And so because of that in my family, I've struggled with feeling inadequate. I've struggled with feeling insecure. I struggle with being rejected. So Pastor, where can I find peace? Where can I find peace? Well, you remember that the brothers could not wish peace. They could not wish shalom on Joseph because of their hearts were not right. But I'm here to tell you today that the real peace, the real wholeness, the real completeness, the real well-being that and life, the shalom, only comes through Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus said these words. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And what he is saying there, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, the word for peace is shalom. He is saying, look, the shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. This wholeness, this completeness, this peace, it comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the only one who can give us this shalom, and he is the only one who could have withheld shalom from us because we don't deserve his peace. We deserve his wrath. But indeed, he offers us his peace, and he offers it to us at quite a price, where he went to the cross of Calvary and took the penalty of wrath that we deserved upon himself so that we could have shalom with God and with each other. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus in your life. Do you know him today? Do you know him as the Lord and Savior of your life? He's the one who offers peace. He's the only one who fixes us and sets things right because he is just and he is right and he is fair and he is God. Two things to do. Number one, as we think about the lessons that we learned from just this first 11 verses in the life of Joseph, three things that we need to do as disciples are this. Number one, guard your heart, your mind, and your mouth. Guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your mouth, right? Why? Because your heart deceives, the mind wanders, and the mouth runs. So guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your mouth as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second point really goes along with that, that says, lean on Jesus and love like him. Because as we said, the love that the Lord has called us to live, this fair, impartial love for all people, only comes through Christ. And so we must lean upon him, yielding to him and love like him. It only comes through him. So you must know him first as Lord and Savior of your life, abide in him, and then point others to him as well. Lean on Jesus and love like him. Hey, friends, listen. You know, as we've been talking about running the race, it is not easy running a race on a rocky road. I don't know if you ever tried to do that, run on gravel, whatever. It's not easy running on a rocky road. As we go through the life of Joseph, we're going to see that as disciples, we're running a race, and many times the road in which we're running is indeed a rocky road. But here's the word of hope for you today, is that as we run this road, this rocky road of life, know that you are enabled, and you are empowered, and you are encouraged through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is faithful, and he never fails. Amen? Amen. Hey, now, as we get ready to, I want to let you know what we're doing this morning. We're doing something a little different. We have now added a final song to our service. And so it's a response time, and we invite you to come and kneel and pray at the altar. There'll not be any pastors up here to receive you, but we invite you to come, as the Lord has dealt with your heart, to just come and kneel and pray. And so for now, no pastors will be here. But we invite you to just spread out a little bit as you come. But we're going to sing here in just a moment. And may you respond to what God has been dealing with your heart about. If you just need to yield to Him, say, Lord, help me, give me that peace, help me to overcome, whatever it may be, know that this time is for you to respond to the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, may you have your way in our hearts and our lives. May you guide us, Lord, as we come to this moment of response. As we sing this song, Lord, may we be struck by your Spirit to remind us of who you are and what you have done. Lord, to know that our peace is found in you. Lord, that the love that we're to have for our family members, for our fellow church members, for the human race, for people who are lost, Lord, comes from you and only from you. Lord, where we don't have that, or we don't have that like we think we should or like you think we should, Lord, we confess that before you even now. We ask that you would stir us toward yourself, that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit and point people to Jesus instead of bearing the fruit of the old selfish nature that points people away from you. God, I pray that we'd be the people you've called us to be, living for you, leaning on you, and loving like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and receive.